Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moss and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, 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 well. It's mellow yellow jello one more time. Boy, that was the quickest 7 days, wasn't it? This week just flew, folks. Just went by like zoom. But you know what? We're here. We got a hell of a show for you. Got a couple of surprises for you. And I got to tell you, I'm totally amazed. And let me explain to you why. We've had, those of you who've been listening around the globe for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the thing that happened back in 1959 in Russia. Well, we got the ears of some people here in the States. We got the ears so interesting that they're saying, you get me an invitation from Russia, and we'll finance it and go over there and film it with you and your crew. But guess what? We cannot find these people. They will not respond to any emails or any type of correspondence on social media because I don't know if they think they're going to get their tit in the ringer or I don't know if they think it's all bullshit or how much is reality here? We want to get down to the bottom of this whole thing. And I'll tell you right now, I'm enthralled because we caught the right ears of the right people to get this job done. Now what we need to do, it was hocus pocus and all the smoke that goes along with it with a lot of these morons. Well, then that's fine, but at least give me the courtesy of the call. I'm not going to sue you for using my footage. I just want to know the story. That's all. It's real simple. Real simple deal here. But the problem of it is I've got the ears of some important people here in the States who want to go there, fund this thing, and film it. So let's get our friend Alex Hearn, our good buddy over there in Arizona, on the line and see how far his investigation has gotten to. Alex, you out there?
Hey, Pop.
How are you?
Not bad. What's going on?
Well, I think you just heard what I talked about.
Yep, and you know, I think you heard my frustration a little bit. Is you search
people around the world haven't. So why don't you tell them what you found out so far?
You search these people, and you come up with multiple names in multiple places. And I think because a lot of it is their, you know, it's their bullshit names, you know, where they can, you know, make a little money and trick the infidels or such, you know. So I'm still after Maria Klonikova with an L. And I've pulled up the name that might be a better interest to us, and that's Teodora, and I'm going to murder this last name, I don't know. She's what some consider the leading expert on the Dotlev pass incident. Now, you know, I think right there that shows that some of it is bullshit because, you know, they were there in 1959. So if this location had a name, it was obviously well named before then. It's part of the Ural, U-R-A-L mountains. And this area where they went missing, the leader of the expedition was Igor Dotlev. So naming the, you know, this valley or such, this pass after him because, you know, he got killed in an avalanche there is suspect, you know, I think. I don't know. But the people were involved in past shows or such. I don't know. If they were credible, wouldn't they be easy to locate? I mean, my phone number's out there everywhere. You know, if you ever want to talk to me, you just go to one of these social media things, and I got my phone number right there. So you can call anytime you like, you know, because I'm credible, because I'm the real deal, you know. And someone taught me that. I don't know who. In fact, my message, I think, on my phone sounds exactly like yours.
And you know what? I appreciate that. Because you know what? I've had the same phone number since 1982 as a cell phone. So that's a long time.
That's pretty amazing.
38 years, all right? I don't go around changing my numbers like a lot of people do, as you and I both know. And there's reasons for
hiding.
It. Yeah, of course they're hiding, okay? But here's the thing that bothers me, Alex. And please shed some light if you can, because I'm stumped. Now, I said this in the beginning, that it's a compelling story. But where they went wrong is they had prostituted or proselytized my pitches, stole them from some of my movies, and used it in theirs. But here's the thing that really bothers me. In the first story I saw, it didn't show any film. But they had got somebody that opened up the archives, because it's been over 50 years, and they found that film when they sent the investigators in at first. But they never talked about that, but they talked about it this last time, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, wow, so does this have credence? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I got William S. Trebell with us tonight, and I found out that he has a lot of people over in that region that he can reach out to and see if he can help us. Without any further ado, let's get down there to Kentucky, and let's talk to Will. Will, you out there?
I am.
Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm good, and I have been doing a little research, and I was just listening to the intro and everybody, and you're right. It is there's a lot of speculative going on, I'll put it that way, and finding the real isn't easy, and I don't have anything right now, but I'm down the line of looking for producers. Who produced these things? Who, you know, like that was my first thought when I couldn't find the people, like the gentleman was just saying, was who's the house?
Okay.
And hopefully through that, maybe I can contribute to that search, because I was familiar with the story, and since we've talked the first time, I've been doing, like I said, a little bit of research and trying to figure it out, and as we spoke about, feet on the ground, like especially with a place like that, and finding the people, and like you were talking about the shows I've seen and this and that, they're rehashing, and I guess some people have went there, and I saw something. I don't want to put anybody under a bus, but I saw something that was like very, very much produced, and it looked like actors to me. And I felt like, has anybody went back? And maybe I'm just, like I said, I'm catching up. I'm playing catch up. I'm doing a lot of research. But where's something fresh? And they bring up the same old documents, and from what I see, the Russia has they said their story back then, and that's it. They've stuck to it, and no comment after. Is that pretty much correct?
Well, yes and no, because the latest story by Maria and Bill call it the Russia's Killer Yeti, and it's a two-part story, and that's the one that caught my eye 3 weeks ago. Okay,
right.
My eyes and my ears. And I was just shocked because I had seen the original years ago. But this guy went out there with the help of this Maria woman, and Alex sure knows their last names and knows how to butcher them pretty good. God bless them. I really do. But it's bothering me now, because now I've got a legit production company and house ready, as long as we've got the invitation from the USSR.
Right on. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That's the thing that's killing me right now, all right? So I'm believing in these people, thinking, oh, my God, you know, I got the ear from a reliable source here, which I've worked with in the past, and he's just waiting for us to show something in paper that we've been invited, and he's ready to put us on a plane and go do what needs to be done.
I love it. Yeah. And that's not an easy venture. That's a dark side of the world, isn't it?
You bet it is. You bet it
yeah.
is. You know, and a lot of people. Stop and think. There was some tourists that went there not too long ago. And what happened? They kept them there. And what, did it take them 2 years to release them? President
oh, wow.
trying to get them out. You know, you
wow.
got to be very careful. But again, you know, if we're invited by them, Department of Sciences or what have you, and always
yeah.
having the contact there or somebody who knows how to contact the right people there, we're good to go.
Absolutely. And I think channels, you follow channels, and doing it the right way. I don't think it should be. I mean, it's, these things aren't easy. And first of all, it's the dark side of the world. Liabilities, all kinds of things we'll have to go through. But with your history, credibility, it shouldn't be hard to reach out and find those right people. And like you started with the show, searching out people. And I think a lot of the people that are serious, they've also used nom de plumes, let's say, and maybe out of fear, like Tom was saying. And then some of them are, they're not on that level. Absolutely not. I would agree with what I was hearing. But universities, the government, and again, I've seen a recent show, and I can't name who, because like I said, I've done a little research, and I saw somebody, and again, all they did was rehash the old papers, the old documents. The gentleman didn't go the links. He did not go there. He went to the capital city and got in the archives, which, I mean, everybody should do if they're doing this, right? But he didn't go that next step that I would just assume would be your thought. You know, you go the next step, you go there. And you find all the in-betweens. Like, you made me aware that somebody had rehashed, retouched, been there. I didn't know about tourists going there. Like, it is it's a restricted area, but not fully. I mean, people do go there for scientific research and different reasons. So I don't see why you couldn't, you know, with the right clearance.
Exactly, okay? But here's the thing. You know, when they talked about Borchef, he was a guy that had called me in the past, and when he told me that there's 5,000, he said it on the show, that there's 5,000 sightings a year over there.
Wow.
That's huge, man. That's huge, okay? They talked about the Valley of the Dead. They talked about the Ural borderline there between
yeah.
Siberia and them, and this is the area where they used to bomb and shoot satellites to test them and stuff, because it was so
yeah.
It wasn't inhabited. But now, what's happened? Do we say that radiation and there was things there, people or creatures there, and it mutated them? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'd love to find out. And now this is the third Wednesday, 3 weeks in a row we've talked about it. And I'm hoping to God that somebody has the balls enough to say, hey, I'm out there and I'm going to help you guys get in. And that's all we need. That's our ticket. That's our e-pass. Believe me. I mean, you know, I haven't asked... really had the time, because Rocky's been on vacation, God love him, and he's been eating beautiful baked ziti and meatballs, God love him. And what do you think of all this, Rocky?
Well, you know, Tom, you're right. We need help. We need help, but at the same time, we need help from people that's not trying to help themselves by using your material. If they want to rehash things, that's the easiest thing in the world. But we need real people that can pull the correct strings. What can I say? I mean, we've been there. We know how people are. We've dealt with it before. I've seen you deal with it a lot of times. But you've got to get hold of the right people to be able to deal with them. And these guys are not being forthcoming at all.
It's very true. It's very true. So it leans towards, okay, is it all bullshit, or is some of it bullshit and some of it's real? And yes, we have proselytized some of your work in our work. I'd like to know just the truth, okay? So,
well, Tom,
I would love to have somebody who's over there in a scientific position a PhD, post hole digger, or a door, DR, in front of their name, instead of after, and who could call and tell me, hey, look, most of it was true. And yes, that stuff was in the safes and confined for 50 years. That was the real pictures that we had found there on the crime scene. And if that came, you know, it came out now. And that's the thing that's blowing me away. Because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, really? If that's the case, how come their government hasn't been out there? How come other people haven't been out there? It's crazy as hell, you know? Let's see what Father Ray has to do. Ray, you out there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here, Tom.
Okay, weigh in on this. What's your thoughts?
Oh, we're dealing with the Russian government, and they're being very cautious. From outsiders coming in to investigate, well, this creature, an incident that happened in 1959. Some of their people were killed. That's known. The whys, was it a creature? Was it an avalanche? Was it a thing? I'm sure that the government is very cautious. They don't want them or their country to come off in a bad light. They're cautious to outsiders coming in. But that being said, Americans do go to Russia. It's ostensibly not a communist country any longer, but so people do go in. I'm sure that they would. The permission to come would be very slow in coming. When it is given, they probably say, okay, but we want Dr. So-and-so to be with you, to be your guide, to watch and see what's going on. And probably he's somebody who's close to the government to make sure that things whatever is discovered, if it should in any way reflect badly on their country, on their government, they would want to squelch that.
I think I get where you're going with this, but at the same point in time, Ray, I do believe it would be a collaboration of both countries and us being there to help them along with themselves to solve this mystery.
Yes.
I think this was, you know, and everybody, when you get both sides, you get the one about the avalanche, okay, and in the tents they use their knife to cut the back end of the tent away from the avalanche and to run out to get away. One thing I don't get is why would have they run out without their clothes on, knowing the temperature is freezing and they're going to have to run out into ice and snow and extreme wind chill factors, especially with this avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll grab some of it. I'll take some of it to Creed, but then there's something else there when it comes to common sense. Wait a minute. And then all of them were naked? And then, wait a minute, the woman's nipples were cut out or ate off, and her tongue was taken out of her mouth, and the eyeballs were taken out also? What sort of thing or person or UFO or paranormal would do something like this? I've heard about it in cows.
Yes.
Okay. But I've never heard about it in the extent of all these people in human beings. You know who can give us a weigh in on this is Will. Will, you did with your radio show. You had a lot of paranormal people on there. What did you used to hear concerning this?
Well, again, what you just said, you do hear that is reminiscent of what you hear about the cattle mutilations in what the 80s, 90s, they were really prevalent, right? It was a big thing, and it was happening, and they were tongues, eyeballs, they were doing that, whatever was doing that. And it goes from aliens to a lot of times it comes back around to some kind of military something, which they also bring up with Deadlock Pass, different variants of some kind of military activities. And like I said, finding people, and like the gentleman said earlier, finding these people, there was a survivor who had left the expedition early, and unfortunately he passed away, I think, in 2013 or 14. And there's very few people that still have the direct line to that, but we do have the writings, you know. And like you said, with paranormal people, your first thing you'll hear from anybody that's in that field is, like you were saying, about the cow mutilations and things like that, and it comes down to aliens or the government, the military experiments. And none of them ever seem to agree on either side of that, which side ever they're on about that point of view. There's a million explanations to the why, you know. And with the Deadlock Pass thing, I've read a lot, and even if you go down the line of, like, well, it was a military zone, like you were mentioning, the unexploded ordnance, the whole area is was used for different things. And that's a matter of record, but it still doesn't all line up, does it?
It doesn't. No, not at all. And
no,
here's the thing that's blowing my mind.
Direction.
Okay. Here's the thing that's blowing my mind completely is that we are giving a public offer to that country, and now we understand that we got somebody that will back us, and as long as they see the invitation from Russia, because they want to make sure that their I's are dotted and their T's are crossed, which I don't blame them, because I think we could film one hellacious movie out of this whole thing. I really do. Whether it be the creatures of the forest, i.e. Bigfoot, Menk, M-E-N-K, which they call it in Russia, or the Yeti, or paranormal, UFOs, I think you'd have a combination and a compilation of things out there that people, if this was made into, forget about the documentary, I think they should make a film of those brave souls who've lost their lives, okay? And this would be a great setting for the world-famous Bigfoot hunter and his team to go there and figure this big mystery out and bring it to the screen, the big screen, and let them see today what really happened. And I think they call it a docudrama, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would be a big seller. I think it would be a huge international winner for everyone around the globe for two reasons. Everybody knows who Bigfoot is. And number two, there's so many people that have heard about this story dating back to 1959. Is Sweet on the line, Rocky?
As a matter of fact, he's right there.
Hey, Sweet, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Tom.
Have you been listening to what's going on here?
Yes, I have. I've been listening.
Well, give me your two cents on this, because you're so smart. I love your wisdom.
Well, I don't know about all that, but, you know, I'm in agreement that the USSR, you know, we're talking about 1959, the Cold War's on, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it, just common sense would tell me that if some story came out that broke out that there was a number of people killed on site, it wouldn't be beyond my senses that there would be a misdirection to say, yeah, it was a Bigfoot attack, or it was an avalanche. Well, really, it could have come down to something simple as some kind of a military maneuver, which caused the avalanche, which wiped them out. Or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy back and forth with that coming out of Russia. You really can't put a lot of stock in anything that would be said in 1959 that came out of Russia. I mean, that's my take on it. But as we get down to the future, the things that are documented, like I said before, and just like you talked about, like the cattle mutilation type of thing, or people getting their, you know, getting crushed or getting your arm ripped off or that kind of thing. You could say magpies or ravens or whatever pluck their eyes out or something, just like anything else happens, it dies out there in the open if it's in cold. And, you know, you can shoot a coyote out there in the field in the snow, and within 30 minutes there's a crow on it trying to eat its eyes out. You know, that's not beyond the realm of possibilities also. But there's a lot to it, and like you said, if you can't go check out the situation like we've done many times in the past to look at the terrain and see what was there. Sure, it's changed since 1959, but not all of it has changed. It still would be very interesting, and I think it would be something worthwhile. That's my take on it, Tom.
And thank you for that. But you know what I'm thinking, please? I'm thinking to myself, my God, wouldn't it be a wonderful resolution for the families of those that are still around, that of those people who died? They would love to know the truth. Because
there's been
three different versions, as I recollect, of that thing going on out there, okay? And now it's entirely different. But if our people from our country go there with our team, with the approval and sanction by the scientific world over there and the people to be, I think this would be one salacious movie for the world to see. Will,
oh, I agree.
Will?
No, I totally agree. And again, I don't think anybody's gone there. And the story has just been, like Rocky was saying, rehashed since 59. Nobody's really done that next stage. It's a long time between now and 1959. And unfortunately, we did lose that last surviving was there individual, but he left a few days before the actual event. There are still people, and like you were just talking about, the place has to change, being ice and snow. But the path there was something I thought about, where they went, retracking. I don't think anybody's done that.
Well, they've done it in this new movie to a degree. Let's see if Alex, what that guy, Mike or Bill and Maria, when did they do that movie?
So that show was done in 2014. Oh, now let's strike that. It was on TV in 2014. So more than likely they were filming in 2012, 2013, depending on how soon the production was done. You know, at least 6 months, right? Per show like that with all the
So it's been a good 8 years video. Either way, give or take a year or two.
Yeah.
But
you know what?
Nobody's
gone in there. Nobody's gone in there and shown the full actual area. Maybe start out where they started out. There are students, right? They were all students.
That's correct.
Maybe start out at their college. show what maybe would have interested them in that area, then go to that area. They must have parked and base camped somewhere, show that. Then their hike, you know, into the mountain. If, you know, there's some question on whether this even totally happened the way they said. You know, and let's not rehash that, but let's show as much as we can for the truth, and then we can make our logical thoughts or theory on the subject and, you know, show how credible the real deal is, and then investigate some other incidents, both Bigfoot, paranormal, UFOs. You know, nobody talks about the other sightings in Russia. There's no
exactly.
show on,
exactly.
on Russian
and they,
Bigfoot,
and they call them
Russian
the tree,
UFOs.
Tree dwellers out there, sure.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Well, how about...
I got to tell you something. You're getting there, okay? But here's the thing. I touched on it a little bit before, and I was hoping somebody would bring that out. And here's what I touched on. Russia contacts the real Bigfoot hunter and his team. And what would happen if we came out there and really uncovered stuff that they never did, and they make it for a good movie with suspense, drama, wilderness, the whole nine yards, paranormal, Bigfoot, UFOs, and they don't let us leave the country because they want to be the first ones to do this, to beat us from having the real truth. I mean, there's so much crap going through my head on this that's a possibility, believe me.
Well, you know what? They won't even let you film there unless you do things the correct way. And that's because they want to have kind of a close eye on you. They want to have their thumb on you the whole time. You know, I think off subject a little bit, but the Deadliest Catch show tried to go over there and film something to do with Russian fishing. They didn't even make it from the hotel to the vehicle, and they were immediately pulled over because they had cameras with them. And then they were kicked out of the country. So, you know, things are tight, and it would have to be done legally, you know, all through the government with, you know, passports and then the legal visas and permits that would be required. And I don't think anybody has done this. It's probably very difficult, but, you know, I think with some location producers would be able to do it.
Okay, difficult, probably yes. Impossible, no.
Exactly.
And I love a challenge. That's the problem with me, okay? I mean, you know, some people say, hey, Biscardi, at your age, you're going to trek around the fucking world, sub-degree weather, into the snow. How long are you going to last? 3 days? It's not the point. The point of it is everybody plays their role here. And more I think about it, and that's my problem. I'm a creative person, okay? I'm a doer. I make things happen. And when I think that there's credence to something and it has value, oh, my God. I mean, if this doesn't have credence and value, I don't know what does. What do you say, Will?
Well, I was biting at the bit, as they say. On that point, he's exactly right, and we've discussed that before. I mean, that's going to be the hat trick, and you do have to go through all the channels and all the paths, and there's going to be limitations. They're going to hinder a lot of things you want to do. I already see that coming. But within reins, you'll get what you want, I think. And it is a new country. It's a new government, and they are open. It's just like small towns realizing the factory closed, and they go into tourism and things like that. They're going to see the validity of it. And I really believe they're going to see that the old story and the old government stamp on a story that's worldwide with such interest, it needs a re varnish. It needs a re-stamp. It needs a retelling. It needs a cap, if you will. And going that direction, and again, through the right channels, I was envisioning, you remember the Rocky movie where he had the two guys with him the whole way?
Yeah.
Right? They were with him the whole way. I mean, I don't think it's that bad, but at the same time, I think you're going to get hindered a lot of the way, and you will have to, like, dot all the I's and cross all the T's and work with somebody within their within whatever that sanctions, whatever sanctions that. And I don't really feel like it has to be that limiting, and the hat trick is getting to all the places and getting the story you want and telling it like you want to tell it. And if they're impeding in any way, I mean, you bend before you break, right?
And I totally agree with you, and well put. The problem that I'm having right now is this. We have tried immensely to try to get a hold of this Maria, because she is an essential person here. She's with the government. She got this guy, Bill Pilecki, or whatever the hell his name is, a chance to meet all those dignitaries and well-known people to get those interviews. So, you know, I believe that that's somebody like her. She's already knows. She's been down that route, see? But like Alex said, for some reason, these people have aliases and different professions. Let's bring Alex back on and explain, elaborate on that. Would you, Alex?
Well, and you know, is it Bill? Bill touched
Bill,
on it,
Will,
too.
Will,
nice to meet you. Will touched on it,
yes,
too.
Sir.
I think he's talking about the same video. All of those so-called interviews were reenactments, if that. So the only two people in that show that were real was Maria and Bill Lebeck. Everybody else in that show was an actor playing that person, if that person is even a real person. There's no way to check, at least not from the U.S.
So the guy that, the ending part, that was actually the bodyguard, the shooter that had the shotgun, who changed to buckshot to slugs,
actor.
He was an actor also?
Yep, everything there was reenacted. Which, you know, sometimes that's the way it has to be, right? Because, I mean, if it really happened, you didn't have a camera there, or they didn't allow a camera or such, you know. But
do you think that she was an actress also?
No.
And let me explain why. In that same part of the movie towards the end, she's telling Bill, we should not be here. We need to go now. When she was hearing the screams of the mink, of the yeti. I saw it. I heard it with my own ears.
Quite possible.
And she said it three times because she was scared shitless.
And that could be why we can't find her, or we find her under a different name. And you know, she's listed just as a translator. So even in the show, they don't claim to her to have any expertise. You know, now she sounded pretty credible, or at least knowledgeable on what she was speaking, but a good actor would.
Wow. You know, and more when I start thinking about this, I get more intrigued, and I'm saying to myself, she's got to be out there, okay? She didn't look too – how old do you figure her for, Alex?
I think I saw something that said she was 30-ish at that time, so – she'd be approaching 40.
So 8 years later, so she must be 40.
I honestly felt like I'm on the fence. I felt like it was very produced, and I thought I judged her as an actor that is representing the person. And again, with the names, not being able to find the person, I think that is like what you're saying is like if it is the real person doesn't want to be acknowledged, and if they are government related, especially. But I could be wrong. I'm going to have to relook and reevaluate. I'm on the fence. I felt like she was very polished to be. There wasn't like just like when we're talking and me having to think. And that doesn't mean that they didn't, go through it and produce well. It was just so well done in her, the way she spoke and the way she held herself. And it was almost like they went out of their way to make her look, I don't know the word right off the top of my head. She looked the role, and that was part of what bothered me, if that makes sense.
No, listen, if it bothers you, it sure as hell bothers me, too.
And I'm on the fence, though. I'm on the fence. Like, what Alex is saying is making me rethink. Like, was she the real deal and not? And again, the bodyguard, all these people, they're representations, and they're reenacting because either they couldn't film, like you said, or maybe they filmed and you can't see what they – maybe they were governed over that. They couldn't show it. It's kept. And a lot of times, though, the real persons in those situations maybe don't camera well, they're not charismatic enough. I don't know the words, but something felt off about it. It was very smooth. All of it seemed very smooth to me, which gave me the but I'm going to have
let me ask you this, Will. Can you go and try on IMD or IMBD or whatever it's called and see what that doc grossed?
And what's the full correct title?
It's I believe it's Killer Rusher Yeti. Alex?
And one thing we do know is the gentleman that I can't say his name, the gentleman, Bill Vilecki, we know he's him. You know, we do know he's him. And that was the only thing I left with, like, I was pretty sure of, obviously, because he's done other things. We know him. We can track him, right? And, I've got Russian Yeti, The Killer Lives, 2014.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. I was muted out. I couldn't answer. Not by Rocky, by me. It doesn't list the gross because I don't have IMDb Pro.
See, we were talking about that earlier the week. It's hard without the Pro, and when you go to their site, when you go to that page, the one thing that I've been looking at and where I think a lot of enlightenment will come from is the director Leon Rawiski. That to me was where I went when I realized it's hard to track any of those people. And I've not.
Yeah, I see it here.
Yet.
So it's Leon Rawiski, and then
right.
Line producer Diane Shorthouse, and executive producer Richard Bond. That's
exactly.
The guy we may have to touch.
Yes. Yes, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like my mind went straight to who produced it. Who's the craftsman here? And the only people you have as self is Maria and Mike Lebecki. And everybody else is playing someone. So according to them, and again, I'm on the fence about Maria. And we know what Mike does. You know what I mean? We know him. We know what he does. So she is our wild card, and trying to find her name becomes hard. And if I click on her to see if she's had any other films or done anything else in media, according, to IMDb, she is listed as just that.
You know, let me cut you guys off just for a second. Everybody's got their ears on around the globe. I'm going to read this couple of paragraphs to you about this, and this is pertaining to what we talk about. It's called Russian Yeti, The Killer Lives. The Killer Lives. It gets your attention, doesn't it? Okay? On February 2nd, 1959, nine college students hiked up the icy slopes of the Ural Mountains in the heart of Russia, but never made it out alive. Investigators have never been able to give a definitive answer behind who or what caused the bizarre crime scene. 55 years later, American explorer Mike Lebecki reinvestigates the mystery known as the Dyatlov Pass incident. But what he uncovers is truly horrifying. Based on a diary accounts, forensic evidence, and files that have just recently been released, Mike pieces together the graphic stories in search of what really happened that evening. According to the investigators at the time, the demise of the group was due to compelling natural force. The students slashed their tent was discovered first with most of their clothing and equipment still inside. Next, the students' bodies were found scattered across the campsite in three distinct groups, some partially naked and with some strange injuries, including crushed ribs, a fractured skull, and one hiker mutilated with her eyes gouged out and tongue removed. Now, let me tell you something. I was just, you know, and now the thing where it says Russian Yeti, the killer lives, you see them in the snow with their dead bodies, and I guess that was what had happened back then. Then they show the monument of that they put together of all these kids. I'm telling, this is one hellacious, compelling story. It really is. And maybe, Alex, you might want to get a hold of this executive producer, Richard Bond, B-O-N-D.
Okay.
See what line we can get on him.
Okay.
Or the line producer, Diane Shorthouse.
Are these people, Tom, that you would invite to the show?
You bet your sweet ass. As a matter of fact, get a hold of them. But they already did this. Let's do it. Yeah, you know, the director is Leon Rawlski. Rawlski. These are all American names, man.
Yeah, they're here. Gary Tuck.
I did notice they used Russian actors.
You what?
I noticed they used Russian actors. Besides production and the explorer, the only other American is the narrator.
Yeah, you would
Everybody
have
else
to.
Was Russian hired, Russian actors.
Right. Well, you're going to hire those kind of
histories.
People. You're going to hire those kind of people on location, right, because of the cost.
Right.
SAG-AFTRA would cost so much to take an American actor over there. It even, you know, would be way too much.
You know what, though? I think that if these people, especially the executive producer, if that cost him some money, okay, and whether or not he made his money back on the project or not, and if he'd like to get back into it and maybe piggyback onto it and
Absolutely.
Really go somewhere with it this time, this could be a big thing for them.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't think they would turn down any promotion, even if it dies on the vine, as it were. I think you could at least get them to the show, and you'll know more than you did. You know, like from their point of view and what they have to give you, even if it's shit, and they're protecting their everything. Who knows? Because like you're saying, if they want to go further. Even if they don't, do they want to promote what they've already got? And you're giving them that avenue by reaching out, you know?
Yeah, executive producers aren't going to want to do it for free. If they want to be involved, if they're going to be involved, they're going to want some dollar signs coming their way. Tom, you would know that, of course.
And I have no problems with it. I have no problems with any of that. You know why? Because money produces results.
Absolutely.
Especially when they're using your footage.
You bet. Yeah. That, you know, listen, that might not be a bad thing. Forfeit your the money we have to pay you, and I won't sue you in court.
That's what I'm saying. Use it for a pry bar.
See why I say you're
absolutely
so smart, you son of a bitch. That goddamn Swede, I love him, man.
That.
He's always thinking. But he's right. He's right. He really is. And, you know, because I have a hell of a lawsuit here. All right.
And you've got leverage like you wouldn't believe from that point of view. We were talking about that just to get them to answer the phone is, hey, I'm not suing you. Maybe you should talk to me.
Yeah, I have a business opportunity for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've done more research on the photo, too, Tom. I can't pull up that photo anywhere prior to 2014. So that tells me that that's a collage, it's a layered photo, and they would have possibly used Ivan's Bigfoot, your Bigfoot, on, you know, maybe with some of the other details and then added to it and made a new file per se or photo. Hence why it doesn't
I can just tell you this.
Back to yours.
Yeah, I could just tell you that it's not their photo. It's Ivan's via me.
Yep.
Because I've taken over everything from him to the state on this, and it blows me away, man. You know,
give
credit to where it's due.
And you know, these executive producers and such, they're probably not aware of any of that.
Oh no. Well, yeah, because they're primarily the money man. You're exactly right.
Right.
You're exactly right.
Right.
But the directors and the regular producers, line producers, look, those people get down to the meat and potatoes. They get the, you know, they got boots on the ground because they want to make sure.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, and listen to me closely, I've never felt this strong about anything in my entire film research career, all right? I think that this is a win-win situation no matter what. We just need to get there. We need their approval. And I think that this would be a bingo. This would be the biggest thing that's ever come out of Russia.
Yeah, I think
really
you're right. It's reality TV hits Russia.
Well,
yeah,
I think I think handled right. It's something that they're not going to, you're not going to have to push. I think they would welcome it. You know, I really do, because the new age, the way things are, it's a new government there. And it's different when you visit these countries. I mean, it changed in the 90s when the wall dropped, you know. And you visit them now, and imagine being free like we are, whatever, since the 90s, you know, like a generation born to. It's a different kind of vibe. It's a different kind of world.
Here's the thing that you got to understand. It's called economics. It's dollars and cents. If they're going to open it up to the free world, why not open it up to the free world about a sensational place to come and visit and see where all this has transpired? Look what they did with Oak Island. Whoever knew about Oak Island? Now they got it's one of the top tourist spots, and they're still looking for something and digging for something that's not producing anything after 11 years. It's an amazing story. Let's see what we uncover during this next week, folks. Rocky, as usual, thank you. Even on your vacation, you're there with us. Alex, I'm indebted to you. Raymond, you're my brother forever. Will, it's a lot of new territory we're getting into. And Swede, you're the smartest man I know. Kudos and salutations Till next time, America.
I want to thank Alex Hearn. I want to thank the Swede. William Travell, it was good hearing from you again.
Absolutely,
Tom,
man. Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear from all of you. Thanks so much for coming on the show. You made a good one. And we will talk to you again.
Good job, Rocky. Night.
Good night,
everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.